Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. This is the radio show, the talk radio show that listens. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and it's Thursday, August 5th, and I'm coming to you live from beautiful, sunny Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Savings Time. Well, today my guest is a doctor, and she's in the house today. Her name is Dr. Davis K. Brimberg, and she is a licensed clinical psychologist, and today we're going to put Dr. Brimberg on the couch, and we're going to hear all kinds of amazing things about life as a psychologist, and we're going to open up our lines to our listeners to answer any questions that you might have for Dr. K. Davis Brimberg. So let's bring Dr. Brimberg to our show and welcome her. Hello, Davis. Hello,
Davis. Pleasure to be here.
Davis, nice to have you with us. I was telling our listeners that we're going to have some fun with you on the couch today.
Great.
Did you bring your couch with you?
Yes, it comes with me everywhere.
Do you? That's beautiful. one size fits all.
Yes, I just put it on my back, and I walk around the world with a couch on me.
Well, that's quite a visual.
Exactly.
You might need a little help every now and then. So I guess my first question is, how did you find your way to psychology?
Well, it was it was a process that it started out when I was at NYU. I started in the Tisch School for the Arts in the dance department, and I took psychology classes. Well, actually, I took one, literally because it fit into my schedule. As a dancer, our days were so packed. We had dance classes and choreography classes and music classes and things like that in such a very small amount of time where we could pick our academics, and I chose Intro to Psych, not knowing that it would have such an enormous impact, of course, on my life and ultimately change my professional life.
Was there a particular professor that took you aside and saw that you had an ability in psychology? I know it's just Psych 101, the intro into psychology, but perhaps mentored you to go into that field?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that question. When I was a freshman, I took that intro class, and it was really, really interesting to me. And I left the dance department after my freshman year and became a psych major starting in my sophomore year. And it was either in that year or the year after that that I took a psychology class with a professor who took me aside one day and asked me, she said, do you have any interest in becoming a psychologist someday because you have a tremendous ability in this area? And I was really flattered and taken back by what she said. And one day she invited me to come to her office to talk some more about it. And when she and I chatted, it became a lot clearer to me that psychology might actually be a profession for me to go into someday.
That's interesting. So this professor kind of found a pair of shoes for you that you might fit into.
Exactly. She did. And what's funny was that when I was a child, people used to say, oh, you should become a psychologist. And I thought it was the lamest, most ridiculous thing that anybody could ever possibly do. As a child, I thought that seemed like a strange profession.
Well, did you have an ability to listen to your friends, or what do you think that one quality was, or several qualities were that made adults say that to you?
Well, adults said it to me, and there was also my father's best friend said to my parents, "Wow, she should become a psychologist." I think it was. Well, everybody analyzes everybody, but I think
that's true.
I think I had an interest in it and an ability in it. But more than that, it was a probably a combination of just being very intuitive and being very interested in people.
I think I know for myself it would have been helpful for me as a child if an adult had said, Lauren, you're good at doing the dishes, and I think that's what you should do, and this is the training. Then you don't have to, you know, maybe, you know, the joy is trying on all kinds of shoes and finding out which ones are more comfortable, which ones ache you in certain areas, and then finding out how to relieve some of the pain in certain areas. That's the beauty of it all, is trying on different pairs of shoes and exploring different things. But there are some children, maybe like yourself as a kid, that had an affinity to one particular industry or a career. And so sometimes adults can help children and guide them to focus on a specific path.
Mm-hmm. And it was something that I really resisted for a very long time. Like I said, the idea of being a psychologist just seemed really really lame to me as a child. But then later on, as a college student, and then, of course, ultimately as a graduate student, I became much more interested in it as a profession.
That's terrific. Now, I understand you have also done some teaching. You were a professor at Pepperdine, is that correct?
Yes, yes. In some capacity, I've been teaching now certainly more than a decade. I think it's maybe 12 years at this point, because I started as a graduate student. But I've basically been a lecturer or an adjunct professor or a visiting professor in some capacity throughout my career. And yes, for the last couple of years, I was at Pepperdine, and I was an assistant visiting professor there for the undergraduate division. And that was for 2 years, and prior to that, for 2 years, I was also with the Graduate School of Education and Psychology.
So what would you say, as a professor, was your most interesting class that you taught?
That's a really good question.
I think two good questions I had so far.
I love teaching. I find it enormously fulfilling and really fun and intellectually stimulating. And every class is its own animal, and every size of a class is also its own animal. Classes have their own personality. For me, there's something particularly exciting about teaching Introduction to Psychology, because you have students who are hungry to learn and open, and they don't have all the other knowledge about the psychological theories and whatnot because they haven't studied it yet. And there's something really, really fun about that. But right now I'm teaching at Antioch University, and it's been wonderful, and I'm teaching graduate students there, and it's a family therapy course, and I'm absolutely loving that experience.
That's true. I remember when I was in college, I went to UCLA, and they had an introductory course to psychology, and there was the professor, he was a character, he had a wonderful sense of humor, and throughout the course you had to do a series of, not tests, but little experiments, psych experiments.
Mm-hmm.
But the taking of the exam at the end of the quarter was kind of a psych exam or test in its own right, because I remember the professor saying it was a true and false multiple choice test, that not one question could be a complete all or nothing. So it kind of psyched me out. Oh, my God, here's a question. Is it A, always true, B, always true, or A and B, always? So it became this incredible psych test in taking a psych test. But it was the most enjoyable class that I ever had. And just from your description of your own teaching experiences, it sounds that you're very passionate about it, and that you express your passion is evident in your teaching, and that's what makes the students enjoy it so much, which was my experience as well.
Mm-hmm. It's fun, and it's fun and rewarding and intellectually stimulating. And I think it's that combination that is what makes it so fun for professors. I mean, I also love working with people in my clinical private practice, and that's enormously rewarding and very fun in a different way.
Yes, and from I understand that you are doing, I don't want to say group therapy, but correct me if I'm wrong. It's called peak performance. It's personal enhancement workshops. It's not really group therapy, but these are based on a particular experience you had while going through school. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Well,
you want to share a little bit with
Sure. In my private practice, I meet with people in different ways. I do individual therapy for people as well as couples counseling, family counseling, things along those lines. But I also do workshops. And I specialize in helping performers. And so the workshops have something to do with performance in some capacity. For example, I have a workshop called Lights, Camera, Stage Fright, which is all about helping performers in various domains, whether it's acting, singing, dancing, anything along those lines, or comedic performances. And
so as an actor, what is the difference if I'm working on a pilot and I need to work on a particular scene, but I'm having a difficult time with the memorization or there's just a block? What would make me come to someone like yourself to help me with my scene as opposed to seeing an acting coach?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I do that's different from what an acting coach does is that I really look into the psychological issues that are involved for people when they get to things like stage fright or feeling blocked in scenes along those lines. So, for example, the area that comes up for people, the issue that really comes up around stage fright is projection. The performer has a tendency to project their own fears onto the audience. They're going to think I'm like this, or they're going to assume that I'm doing that, or they're not going to like this or that. And so they project their fears, their conflicts, their concerns onto the audience or whomever it is that's evaluating them. It might even be a casting director, let's say.
So fear is a big proponent in how you help, whether it's actors, or I'm sure your methods would be very helpful for people who do public speaking.
Absolutely. In fact, I have a workshop that's all about helping public speakers. And
what is that called?
It's called Say It Loud, Say It Proud.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you. And that workshop is all about helping people to feel more comfortable as a public speaker, more confident, more organized. I give very concrete tips about how to give a presentation. So there's a mixture of the psychological theories and techniques as well as very concrete tips.
And I know, because we've been friends for, 15 years now.
That long time.
A long time, that you're an avid tennis player. And I guess from your love of the game, you have decided to also help athletes with an anxiety. Is that correct?
Well, the interesting thing about performers is that they have so much in common. Whether somebody is an actor or an athlete or a public speaker, they have a lot in common, and I have a workshop that is specifically addressed as athletes. It's called Ready, Set, Win, and that one is about helping people to overcome things like difficulty winning. For a lot of people, competition brings up a great deal of conflict, emotional conflict. They have all sorts of mixed feelings about what it means to actually want to beat another person in a tennis match or, let's say, on the basketball court or something like that. And so this workshop is, it's for anybody who regularly breaks a sweat, whether they're a professional or a semi-pro or somebody who just likes to go out on the weekends and play tennis or golf or basketball,
I think
or whatever.
It's also very helpful. And I think you actually had a similar situation about test taking. There was, and this is how it all kind of started. These performance workshops started about your own personal experience in the anxiety of test taking. So tell us more about that. I find that very interesting.
Well, I have a workshop that's called So I'm Freaking Out About the Test. And that workshop is about helping academic performers. And students experience very similar degrees of anxiety that, let's say, an actor like stage fright would experience. But they experience it in the academic realm. And just like I said with projection before, that the actor projects their concerns onto the audience, the test taker can often project their concerns onto the teacher, and sometimes even onto the test.
Yeah, I think I could have fallen into one of those categories and wish I had you as a resource to go to, because when you're taking tests, sometimes you tend to second-guess yourself as far as the answer that you wrote down. You're not so sure. Maybe I should go back and change it. And I guess through your couch and your speak, you're able to help people say, okay, maybe do a rehearsal of what it's like to be in a test situation, those anxieties that come up. What do you wear? Do you wear the same thing you practice with as you go into the test to make your surroundings more comfortable?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in terms of practice, all performers have to practice their craft, whatever it is. They need to have those dress rehearsals. And so the test taker needs to simulate the test as best that they can, so that they become less fearful about it. You know, if you simulate the test and you take these mock exams, either exams that you've created for yourself, which is a great way of studying for a test, is to create an exam for yourself. Or if you take a test that's already been created, like they have with various test prep programs, every time that you do that, you simulate the actual exam. And it's like a dress rehearsal. And that's definitely something that I recommend for my clients. That they try to simulate whatever it is that they're most concerned about.
So the idea is to make you feel comfortable in your shoes so that you are ready to experience what's in front of you.
Exactly.
So the more you rehearse, the more you put on those shoes and get to know what they feel like, the more you can be relaxed and calm. Because I think we all know in a variety of circumstances, from acting to public speaking to athletics, that, like you're telling our listeners, through the rehearsal process, the more you feel comfortable, the less anxious we become.
Yes, and the less anxious somebody feels, the more they can enjoy the performance. I want people to feel excited for their performances, whether they're an actor going out on stage or whether they're going to take a test. And, you know, I want them to get excited because they want to clobber the daylights out of the test, or get excited to play that sport, or get excited to make the presentation. All of the anxiety that comes up for people can be used to their advantage. And if it's harnessed properly, the person gets excited for that performance, and they have an even better performance than they ever could have imagined.
That sounds great. That sounds so. I know that if I were to come to you, I could find a pair of shoes that might fit.
Oh yeah,
and believe me, that would be a challenge because my feet they hurt me. So it's always interesting finding the right pairs of shoes. So Now, what kind of clients do you see? Do you see men, women, a combination of both?
All of the above. And I see men and women as well as adolescents. I see performers. I also see people that have nothing to do with these areas of performance, but who come to see me for more general psychological concerns, for things like depression.
Is that a major topic for the young people that you see? Is that what's worrying our young people today, a depression about where they are in their lives?
Depression, anxiety, and relationship concerns, things that are involved with romantic relationships, platonic relationships too, but that's a very, very common concern for people who come to see a therapist like myself, that they're in some relationship that is stressful to them and weighs on them, and they want to see a neutral person where they can express their concerns and work on whatever those issues are.
But don't you think relationships, this is what I find in talking to so many people, that the number one thing most people want in their life is a committed relationship, whether it's a companion, whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
We all want someone to share our life with, our ups, our downs. And and once we have a hold on that part of our lives, it seems that the other part of our lives just flows right in. It's just right there. It's the one thing that, you know, whatever we want the most, when that comes into full view, then everything else just flows, and that's what makes life more enjoyable, I think, for most people. I know for myself, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think most of us would love to find somebody to share our life with.
I think you hit it right on the head.
Most people would really welcome that.
Yes, yes. And I just read. I love bragging about you because you have such an interesting little caveat that makes you stand out a little bit different than other therapists who are just as qualified and are excellent just as you are, but you have a unique ability to help people with a specific need, their anxiety, their performance, and you are taking your, because of your background in dance and the theater, you are taking that experience and you have a new column now, On the Couch with Dr. D.
That's right.
I love that.
Thank you. On the Couch with Dr. D is it's a new thing in my life, and I'm really excited about it. I'll be writing a column monthly for Actors, Inc. In fact, my first one appears on the Actors, Inc. website on the front page.
What is that website? So if people want to go read that, how do you get to that?
It is actorsinc.com, and it is INK.
Okay. Great. So actorsinc.com, so they can read your first piece. And what is the title of your piece?
The first piece is called it's called Toxic Coaches, What a Waste.
Ah, that's clever. Love
and
it.
Basically, what it's about is how actors can free themselves of working with these toxic coaches. Hollywood is a really, really difficult industry. I mean, that is making a serious understatement. It is a tough, tough world. And unfortunately, there are a lot of actors who wind up working with teachers who become extraordinarily cruel to them. And this article is about what actors can do to free themselves from that situation.
That's terrific. That, you know, I think it's the entertainment industry as an actor in particular is one industry where you can spend all kinds of money taking acting classes, improv, voiceover, you name it, but you're not only guaranteed a job, but you're not really guaranteed a place to go audition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dream, and I think if you have that passion, you got to go for it and do whatever you can. So it's nice to have people like yourself, other resources through the various actors union or wherever information can be found via the internet that people can go to and see if these particular coaches are valid and through experience. So that's great. That's
mm-hmm.
terrific. That's terrific. Well, when you're not shrinking, you mentioned earlier animals, and I know you were telling me about your love of animals.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Animals in general, but the big cats.
Yeah. To me, animals are natural healers. They are beings who have an ability to connect with people in such a powerful, nonverbal way that is it can be enormously healing. I met the sweetest dog last night. I met
now,
a dog.
Are you referring to an animal, or are you referring to a human being that
no,
you
but what's interesting,
gently calling a dog?
There are some dogs.
Is it a dog or a dog?
This was a dog named John. And
oh.
I don't know if I
like where this is going.
But it's true. He was so sweet, this dog named John, and he just sort of came over to us. I was with a group of people and just was instantly there. But animals have an ability to, I think, access parts of ourselves in a very raw and very beautiful way. But so not only do I love domestic animals, but I also really love wildlife. And I am an adoptive parent of a couple of different big cats.
Congratulations, Mama.
Thank you.
We call you Mama Dr. D.
Exactly. I have adopted a cheetah at one organization, which is called Cat Haven. And you can find them at cathaven.com. And
these are just animals that are in the wild. Why are these animals at this particular facility?
Well, the animal that I adopted, his name is Tango. And he is a cheetah who has been raised since birth to interact with people. And he's what's called a teaching ambassador. And Tango goes to schools and does television programs and things like that. But they have other animals there. In fact, all of their other animals do not interact with people, but they are animals who have either been orphaned or they are very exotic animals, and they're orphaned. Their animals that they have there are not able to live in the wild. For example, they have a couple of bobcats whose mother was shot and killed by a hunter when they were less than 2 weeks old. And when they were found, their eyes were not even opened. So these were animals that are totally incapable of making it, so to speak, for themselves in the wild.
Right. You know what? I don't know where the time went, but we are almost out of time. But before
oh,
I
my
go,
gosh.
I know. But I was just having
How
so
did
much
that happen?
Fun getting to the animal part, the raw animal part of the show. Before I go, I want to let our listeners know where they can contact you if they want to discuss animals or maybe some of your workshops, your peak performance workshops. It's www.drdavis, D-A-V as in Victor, I-S-K, the letter K, Brimberg, B-R-I-M, as in Mary, B-E-R-G.com, right? And you have a website, and your website will take people to where they can contact you or email you and ask you any questions that they have. And I want to thank our guest, Dr. Davis K. Brimberg, for visiting with us today and bringing her couch with us. And hopefully she's been able to put that down and lessen the burden on her back. You've been listening to Lauren Leibowitz and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. And I hope you've enjoyed listening to the show just as much as I've enjoyed talking to you. Davis, it's always a pleasure having you with
Thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lauren. It's been such a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. And
Thank
I wish you,
you.
All the best with your new pair of shoes.
Thanks.
Okay, folks. We'll see you next Thursday at 3 p.m. Take care now.
Take care. Bye.